The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Runes, the 2018 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2018. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
I think since the last session went a little bit long, I'll go ahead and get started. There's a video in the middle of the presentation that the tech guy was going to confirm that we could link to and show it. He might come in and interrupt us, but let's get started. Thank you so much. My name's Laura Coverstone with JobFit Matters, and this is my first time attending ACCS, but I'm so pleased to get to know so many of you that I may have talked to over the phone, attached some faces with names. Apologize for the false advertising. My partner, Ed Poff, was supposed to be with us here today, but his daughter's school actually changed the time of their graduation. If you're a head of school, you know that decisions like that have many political repercussions and PR problems, and so he was not able to make it here from Connecticut. So I'm looking forward to meeting more of you after the session and those that I haven't met by phone yet. So let me begin our time by opening us up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for gathering each person here today. Thank you for the way that they are choosing to serve their schools in whatever roles they are serving in. Lord, this is kingdom work, and we pray that we would keep that in mind every day, that we would help through this conference and through our work, help to make our schools better so that our students know you more every day, the source of all knowledge. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In your son's name, amen. Thank you so much. So I'd like to get a feel first. I like the size of this group. And I hope that we can share some wisdom here today. How many of you are current heads of schools in classical schools? Okay. How many are administrators or maybe someday will be a head of school? Okay, and how many board members do we have here? Okay, so board members, you may be here because you've never been through a head of school search. You may be here because you've been through a head of school search and it did not go as you planned. Or you may be here because you're dreading the day that your school has a transition. But I hope that you can gain some nuggets of wisdom, some best practices from our experience. And use that at your schools. My partner Ed and I have helped about 25 schools and hundreds of candidates through the search process. It is our vocation, but it's also what we consider our ministry. We pray every week together for the schools and the searches that we're going through, for our candidates' families. We get very close with our candidates' families in the process, and we like to think of ourselves, if you've used a search consultant, as a search consultant, we're honored to be a part of that process. We're honored to watch God draw leaders to new roles. We're honored to get into the lives of candidates and pray with them and for them about new opportunities. So it is kingdom work that we do as well. But you as a board member might be doing that on your own. You might feel like you have the resources and the time and the energy to do that. So we just wanted to share some of the things that we've learned about the search process, about how to conduct an effective search. This is a little more practical in nature, but how to conduct an effective search to get the end result that you're looking for. Are you? Okay. Well, I was just... There's a video there that I was hoping we could test, but we'll try it when we get there. So, thank you. So these are some of the things we'll be covering today, and we'll keep it crisp. I will get you out of here by 11:50 so you can get to lunch, even though the last one ran long. There's a little bit about me. I have always done recruiting. I have not been in the education world, but when I did recruiting for Christian organizations. I live in Nashville, so you know, Lifeway Christian Resources, Thomas Nelson Publishers. I still saw that as kingdom work. But when I had the opportunity 10 years ago to go to work for Job Fit Matters, which is one practice of the SEMA organization, I was honored to get to work with Christian organizations every day and watch. There's just a video in the middle I wanted to check, but we can wait till we get there. Get to that thing. So it's okay. And if it doesn't work, that's okay. Okay, great. So I'm out of Nashville. My husband teaches at Belmont University in the education department, so he's training teachers. My partner Ed is out of Connecticut, which is why he couldn't be here with us today. But together, as I've said, we've served 25 schools in the head of school search process. He spent 20 years with AT&T in senior management and used the SEMA process, the way of understanding giftedness of leaders, in his work there, and eventually came to the SEMA organization. Here's just a little bit, a few of the searches that we've done recently. You might recognize names like Regent School of Oxford, Westminster Academy of Memphis, the Trinity School of Durham and Chapel Hill, and recently, this past year, Redeemer Classical School in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and others. Outside of classical schools, we also do schools searches for other Christian schools, for Christian colleges, for other ministries. As large of an organization as World Vision, we did their COO search, and church pastor searches. But Ed and I, our focus, we're the practice leaders of the K-12 searches, and we love this work, I guess, because we have kids, and we just see the value of Christian education, feel like there's almost nothing more important than getting the head of school selection right. And we've worked from coast to coast as well. Questions about us before we get into the process itself? So as we walk through the search process, I do invite you to raise your hand if you have an experience, if you agree with something, or if you disagree with something. I'd like this to be discussion-based, and there's a lot of wisdom in this room that could be shared with each other. If we've learned one thing at all, it's that every search that we've been through has been unique because it's got people involved in it, and because our schools are unique, because our candidates are unique. So while we have a bit of a tried and true process that we believe in, that we feel like process is our friend in some cases to keep emotions out of it and to really focus on the Lord's wisdom and discernment, we also are very flexible to board chairs, creativity, ideas, things that the people around the table, the body that is assembled around the table as a search committee, have to offer in the search process. So we keep things flexible. There's not one formula that works in every situation. But because of that, we can't stress enough the importance of weaving prayer throughout the search process. From day one, both in the committee and in the community, we encourage our search committees to actually appoint a prayer captain. And I know that may sound strange, but someone whose responsibility on the committee it is to keep everyone's focus on prayer, both in the committee and in the community. So they might be set up prayer time specifically for the head of school search. They might be the person that interacts with the communications department so that prayer requests and updates are made to the website, the school's website, to keep the community as a body praying for the search. So, prayer captain, in that same way, on a side note, another role you might designate on your search committee at the upfront might be a hospitality chairperson whose sole purpose or a purpose would be to keep in mind what that visit is going to look like at the end of the search, a gift basket for the candidate and their spouse in the hotel room, keeping in mind what the students might like to do, the children of the candidate might like to do on a visit. Maybe it's planning an outing to a baseball game or something. So Those are just some search committee roles. And remember, you're praying for all of the candidates, not just your successful candidate, but that all of the candidates would be honored and edified through the process of interacting with your school, and praying for their families. So this is a head of school search in three parts, and we dissect it this way because really each part is in its own about a third of the search process and incredibly, incredibly important. So you see the first stage is learning and defining. As a board-appointed search committee, the search committee, well, and the board together have the important job of really defining what type of leader do we need in this part of the life cycle of our school. You know, at times, your leader is going to be more, need to be more of a collaborator, then at other times, your leader may need to be more of a change agent. So really digging underneath the skills and the resume elements of your leader to understand how is your community feeling, what's the state of the union, and what type of attributes, deep attributes, are you looking for moving forward. So then all of that defining, listening to your community, happens in that first third. So many committees want to jump right to posting an ad and getting candidates in because we need a candidate. We as a board don't want to be the head of school. We need a head of school. And you want to jump to marketing this, the search and getting applicants in. But we encourage you to do that definition first, to do that meaningful understanding first, because if you begin to get into conversations with candidates too early, candidates will have a sense of whether the board is unified or not, whether the board knows what it's looking for or not, and it can kind of derail things on the upfront. So make sure that you take that first step with time and perseverance. Then get to marketing the search. That's when you're talking to candidates. That's when you're reading the funnel down from a wide funnel down to a smaller funnel. And then the last third of the search is when you're actually doing the interviewing of semifinalists and finalists and having campus visits and having interactions, tours on campus, and making your selection and then making the offer. So that's the big picture view. But each one is about a third of the time of the process that it takes. So let's back up and talk about selecting your search committee. A lot of information up here, but we encourage, just as Sandy was talking about in the last session, the search committee, as selecting the head of school, is one of the most important jobs of the board, and that's the key. It's a job of the board, and so we encourage a search committee to be a majority of board members. Certainly, you can have representation from faculty. You want to honor faculty that way. But make your majority board members so that then when you go to the board affirmation of the search committee's work, you know that there's good voices from the board on the search committee. If you do have an administrator on the search committee, we recommend that it not be an administrator that directly reports to the head of school. It's just awkward to have that person interviewing their own boss who will then become their boss. Thoughts or, let me go through the rest of this list and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on what's worked well and what hasn't worked well on your search committees. So include a variety of long-time members of the community as well as some fresh perspective because your school isn't the same school that it was 20 years ago, and so you want to make sure you have some fresh perspective and future-minded members of your search committee. As I mentioned, have a prayer captain. People always ask us, boards often ask us at the beginning of a search, how many is an ideal size? We found anything from 7 to 11 works well. Any more than that, and scheduling becomes a nightmare. And any fewer than that, then you don't have the right constituents represented. So, love to hear some comments or questions or thoughts about search committees that you've served on. How many have served on a search committee? Okay. Do you have any thoughts or agree, disagree? Does all that sound? Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. So then, okay. This is a piece, and I actually have a sample for you that is in the handout that you'll get at the end. But we cannot emphasize enough how important it is to make confidentiality important in your search committee. To the extent that we recommend you having search committee members sign this agreement, sign a confidentiality agreement. It says things like they're going to, you know, just remind committee members not to leave their materials laying around about candidates, not talk about it with their spouses. By signing it, you then enable search committee members to say when they're asked by their friends, I'm sorry, I signed a confidentiality agreement, I can't talk about it. But it is so important to candidates to be able to explore opportunities confidentially. They only have so much trust with their board, you know, that they can explore opportunities openly. When it's appropriate, they're going to inform their board and probably before a decision is made. But in the initial stages, they want to be able to explore multiple opportunities confidentially and be able to make that safe. We've had candidates tell us, they've gotten skittish and they've backed out of search processes because even with a confidentiality agreement, they have the damage that it would do to them politically to be in a search was so great. So this helps. It doesn't mean that you will get to talk to every candidate, but it certainly is a key part of just maintaining the integrity of the search in your community as well. So anyone have any experiences, bad things, good things happen around confidentiality in a search process? I know of one Christian school that posted on their website all of the candidates' names before the visits, and one of their candidates had not informed their board yet, and it caused incredible difficulty. So, I mean, that's just something you absolutely want to avoid. So, I said enough on that. Then, as a committee and slash board, in your school, it may be unique. It may be that the board is serving as the search committee. It may be the board appoints a search committee, but ultimately that search committee is a representation of the board. You're going to be developing the profile of what you're looking for, and so this is that first third. This is everything going up to marketing the search. So in developing the profile, you want to have one-on-one interviews with as many different types of constituencies as you can. One-on-one conversations are key because people will be forthright and honest, pros and cons. You want to ask, what are the strengths of the school? What are the weaknesses of the school? Where do you see the school in 5 years? If God knocks it out of the park and brings us just the right leader, what are your expectations for that leader and for how the school might look different in 5 years? What are the challenges this next head of school will face when they come? You as a search committee want to understand all those things from a lot of different perspectives, even maybe some families that have left the school. We did a search one time with a Christian school, and a couple came in with tears welling in their eyes because they'd left the school, and they had a 12-page document of all the things that they were unhappy with, and even gave me a DVD of it, a digital copy of it. That was back when they had DVD, CD of the file. I mean, they were that passionate, but to hear all sorts of voices is important as you go into the search process. If in addition to one-on-ones, we do listening posts with groups of faculty or groups of even students. I worked with a classical Christian school one time and interviewed, had a little group of middle schoolers, and their wisdom was amazing. You would not think, but they were so honored by being asked to participate in the process. And they said things like, you know, when we asked, what would you like to see, you know, happen in the next head of school? Well, I sure would like the schedule worked out so that I could take more logic classes. I mean, they weren't asking for more recess. They were really students that cared about their education and spoke in it. That same student said, we need a leader who's going to integrate faith into the foundation of the school. I mean, this is, you know, 7th, 8th grader. There's some beautiful opportunities to listen to your community. You can also consider, even though John MacArthur is not a big fan of surveys, I think this is not what he's talking about in this case, a school-wide survey to listen to your community so you can touch more people. Things on that survey would be, of course, the state of the school. We'll dig into the survey a little bit more. But as you're developing the profile, you want to identify any particular changes. Oftentimes, these are personnel issues. And as a board, sometimes you need to make that tough call before you hire your next head of school, rather than leaving that for them to take care of. So consider if there are opportunities that you can pave the way and make your next head of school more successful and not leave them to do make some decisions early on that are going to bury them in a hole. Does that make sense? As a board, we recommend that there be at least the bare bones of a current strategic plan. Because as a board, you want to hire a head of school that will take you and implement that strategic plan, but not leave it up to that next head of school to set the course for your school. As a board, that is your responsibility to set the vision, set the mission, you know, ensure the mission of the school and say, this is where we want to go. Whether that's if you're you only go up through eighth grade and you want to add the upper school, you want to hire a head of school that's going to take you there. But if you don't want to do that, don't hire a head of school who's all, you know, just passionate about making that happen. So have a current strategic plan, even if that is, you know, big rocks, 5 to 6 things that are the big goals that you want them. And then, of course, allow that head of school, you know, when they come in to tweak it, to flesh out the details of implementing it. Don't be afraid in the profile that you share with candidates to talk about the challenges and the problems, because God has wired just the right leader to be motivated to attack those challenges, that's gifted, has done it before at another school, and really wants to use God's gifts, steward the gifts that God's given him or her to implement those things at the next school. So don't be afraid to talk about the challenges and problems. It might be the thing that draws your perfect head of school to the role. And then finally, as it might be in the form of your strategic plan, but articulate the expectations well. If you need them to raise $1 million a year, it's better to be clear about the expectations than not know, you know, $20,000 a year versus $1 million a year is a big difference. So be as specific as you can so that they can say, you know what, those are reasonable goals. Yes, you know, those are challenging, and I'm going to need to be on my knees to do it, but I can do that. So be as clear as you can if you about expectations. Any thoughts, comments about creating the opportunity profile, which you'll then share with prospective candidates? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you asked, because we do work with a partner that implements our survey. That's the first page of it. It covers the state of the union, how you're feeling about things. It covers future priorities, attributes you're looking for in the next leader. I would say, I don't know if you've done surveys during a head of school search process, but most of the time the community is so nervous about that transition that they will take the time. Our response rate is really high because people care about the head of school and they want to have input into it. Of course, if they don't, they're not going to fill it out, but we have found response rates to be remarkable. It also is, you know, there's a question with nominations for people to suggest names of not just candidates, but people that the search committee should network with. So those are the types of things we encourage. Our partner has actually done this at so many classical and Christian schools that data can be benchmarked against. You can look at your data compared to other schools, like schools, and it's valuable for boards. What it does is informs the boards. It doesn't dictate to you what you have to be looking for, but it informs you what the community would like. So I think it's important to be clear about the purpose of it in your message. The board is conducting the head of school search or search committee. I've used those interchangeably in this case. And we would like the community's input as we define what we're looking for. Because it's not a majority vote. If someone says, well, we need someone that isn't going to fundraise and only focuses on academics, that's probably not realistic. And so it's not saying that the community gets to define it. It's saying that the community gets to have input and valuable input. Make sense? Anything else on... and we have just found that community oftentimes will do one-on-one interviews after the survey. So the survey has kind of brought up a lot of thoughts and ideas, and then we do the one-on-one surveys, and they're that more passionate, and they really do appreciate being asked. So then I have four or five examples of opportunity profiles that we've done. Of course, you want it to represent your school. So your website is a great representation for your school, and you want to make sure it is up to date and accurate and the best foot forward, because you're going to get a lot of traffic during a head of school search. But you want to have information about your school, about your school's distinctives, about strengths and weaknesses. I like to have a page, I don't know if I can get one quickly, but a page of at-a-glance statistics. We've been doing this in kind of an infographic format of just, they want to know the bottom line. What's your budget? What are your students? What's the makeup like? What's the makeup of your faculty like? To pull all relevant information for your head of school candidates into one piece is very helpful to them, and they appreciate that you pull it from all different pages on the website and put it into one document. And again, position requirements. If your strategic plan is on your website, link to your strategic plan, and then again, clear expectations. If you're expecting them, the next head of school, to double the size of the school, be clear about that. But if it's moderate growth, they need to know that too. What are your expectations? That's what draws leaders. Questions about the opportunity profile? It's very practical, as I said. But going beyond the profile, we really want to dig in to the character, the motivations, the attributes that are really going to fit in your community. Every school's profile probably has elements of, we need this person to be a spiritual leader, we need this person to be the academic leader, we need this person to be the financial leader, whether that's fundraising or budget management. But what does that look like at your school? At your school, how does fundraising work? And you need to think as a search committee, does this person need to be incredibly over the top relational? Do they need to be really attuned to the numbers? And like I said before, be that change agent that's going to make some tough decisions and really turn the ship around? What are the character attributes that you're looking for? This is going deeper. Much like when Samuel was anointing David, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. God does not see as humans see. Humans look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. So this is really trying to talk about what's in the heart of this person and how is that going to fit with your school. Other aspects of the internal criteria to just the search committee might be some non-negotiables, like we don't want to look at candidates that don't have a PhD. You're probably going to put that in your opportunity profile. But you might say PhD preferred or preferred, master's required, or something to that effect. But you as a community search committee need to wrestle with some questions like, are we going to be okay with someone outside of this denomination if it's a church-affiliated school? What are the denominational boundaries? What are the educational boundaries? What are the geographic boundaries of the candidates that you want to look at? And wrestle with those early in the process as opposed to when you're talking to candidates. It'll save you a lot of time. So to define your non-negotiables. And then the last external piece, if you have the resources, we do encourage you. This is a media, a media-saturated world, and a picture is worth 1,000 words. If you have the ability to create a video about your search, it can serve as an executive summary of all the detail that you have in your opportunity profile. It can be a way to draw candidates in, easily forwardable to people, posted on your school's social media. Let me just show you. Let me see how I'm doing on time and see if it works. 8 minutes. Tell you what, the handout is going to have, I'll try it. Yeah, it's an active link, but it's not connecting, so we'll keep going. But the handout that I sent you will have a link, have the link to our YouTube channel where you can look at some examples of videos, but you can do it simply with photos and music and a narrator and tell the story of your school. It can be very powerful to draw candidates in. Well, I don't know why that's not. Oh, there we go. Yay. So then, this is one slide out of 24 slides, but it's sourcing candidates. And I think the main point I want to drive home is go beyond advertising and really work the networks of where your candidates are. Your candidate is sitting in someone's church somewhere, so network with pastors. Your candidate may be serving in another ACCS school, so talk with other ACCS leaders. They know up-and-comers. They know people that might be dissatisfied with their board. They know people that are ready for their next step up in the size of the school. So really, don't just sit back and wait for the candidates to come in. You as a search committee, if you don't hire a search consultant, need to spend probably 200 hours of phone calling and networking so that you can get to the right candidate. The passive candidate who's happily serving somewhere, and God might just use you to tap them on their shoulder and say, could this be what's next for you? So active versus passive candidates. The ones that you have to work harder for are often very worth it. That's not to say that there aren't fantastic candidates that are active and that do come to you. That can be a huge blessing as well. Maybe they've always loved your school and feel drawn to it, and that can be incredible as well. Yeah? I think God has to be in the middle of it, and if you are saying, I want to share with you, I mean, if they've been serving 7 to 10 years, they're, their school. Maybe I know of a head of school just this week whose board said, you've been here 12 years and it's just time. So it might be just time for that person. And you, you know, you're just introducing the idea to them. And you're just saying, you know, I want to share with you this opportunity. Do you or someone you know have any interest in exploring it further? They have to ultimately feel the release from their school. And they ultimately have to feel like God is leading them to the next opportunity. I mean, we know that, I mean, ideally, boards only have to do this once every 10 years or 15 years. But in reality, head of school tenure is often 3 to 5 years. And that's because boards change and expectations change and fit changes. And so that might be one reason that they nibble or check it out. Does that make sense? Excellent point. That brings up kind of the timing, the school cycle timing. You know, oftentimes, if you do find out that your head of school is leaving in late spring, I would just really encourage you to have an interim situation for that next year and not rush the search. And even if it means a tough year, you want to drive for the right fit, not just kind of that two-month cycle. Start your search in the summer, kind of hit that heavy recruiting cycle in the fall, and then identify the leader in November, December, at the latest January, so that before the whole contract cycle starts. Just a few more thoughts, and I think we're out of time. So internal candidates, you know, many internal candidates have been selected in our searches, and so they are valuable leaders that you don't want to lose, whether they're selected or not, generally. So you want to honor them in the process, communicate well with them. If they are selected, just going through that process, you know, that doesn't mean that you aren't interested in them, but going through a full, robust search will legitimize their selection as opposed to just, okay, we're just going to appoint this person that's convenient. So. And make sure it's good for their gifts. A few things on interviewing. We recommend 3 to 4 candidates side by side as much as possible to have good compare and contrast. Like someone mentioned, multiple venues, multiple visits, social engagement engagements, including the spouse and children. We really like asking a realtor, a trusted realtor in the area, to give a tour to the family, so that the family can be off the pedestal, out of the spotlight, and ask questions. And realtors are great salespeople for your community. And then just the whole digging beneath, go use some sort of tool to really understand at a deep level how God has gifted that person, how God has motivated them. Of course, we, you know, shameless plug for the SEMA process of understanding giftedness, whether that's DISC or Strengths Finders or a really deep way of understanding whether what they have to offer is an ideal fit for your school to ensure long-term flourishing so that their battery is energized, so that they're not drained. We believe that honors God because he created each one of us uniquely. A head of school is not a head of school is not a head of school. They're not all the same. So he created us for a purpose, and we honor him when we determine the best fit for how he's gifted us. That great fit. There are going to be things that the candidate loves to do that the school doesn't need. They can do that through hobbies. And there are going to be things that the role needs that that person won't bring to the table, and you supplement and complement that with their team. And then I have a sample of a term sheet in the handout. You're welcome to come and get the handouts, or I'll start passing them out. But involve them in the process. It's much more than just the salary. It's there are lots of pieces to the compensation package. Thank you. All right, any questions? I know we've rushed through the last part. Yeah? Yeah, I recommend at least one visit with just the search committee, but on that second visit, Absolutely. The candidate is going to want to meet the board as well. So both formal and informal gatherings with the board. There are the opportunity profile examples up here. There's a few of our annual reports, so you can see some of the searches we did last year. And then my card's up here. It's been a pleasure. Happy to chat with you at breaks and things. Please come introduce yourself to me. Thanks so much for your time. Thank you.